Good morning. It's 8:37.
Yeah.
8:37 a.m. on Sunday, July the 25th, 2021. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's right. It was too hot when I got up this morning at 5 o'clock. It was already 70 degrees. It hasn't warmed up a lot. It's maybe a little warmer, but there's a pleasant breeze. And while it's warmer than I'd like, it's not terrible. And I need to walk. I haven't been. What I've been doing is reading. Most of the day, reading. I've been through, well, let's see, I finished up Little Fleet, Mikey Chandler's Little Fleet, some time ago, and started on the April series. I've gone through all 12 books of the April series since mid-June, late June. I read Jane Lindskold's trilogy, 13 Orphans. I read, I forget what it was, the first book in the Christmas Grove series by Deanna Chase. I have several books stacked up ready to go. I got the second book in T.S. Valmont's series. I got the third book in Jackie Lau's Next Door Neighbor series. I'm reading the second book, because I just finished the first book, in Judith Moffitt's The Coup series. This is Judith Moffitt, I-T-T, not E-T-T. So, not the Judith Moffitt you may be thinking of science fiction fame. Although she writes some really good space opera. I have to say. I started this book, I had this book for a while. I started it some time ago and then put it down. I don't know why. Maybe I just wasn't ready to read it yet. It's pretty good. There, you know, it's a debut novel. That's probably at least as good as Quarter Share. Might be. There's no might be. It's better than Quarter Share, I think. Having been through Bob and Nikki and Jerry Boyd series, and then Mackie Chandler's books, it's been really interesting to see how far I'm willing to go for a good story. And I've talked about this before. That there may not be any bad books. This is a heretical statement. There may just be books that you weren't meant to read. I talked about it with a bunch of my fellow self-published authors. And there is a class of books that readers will buy that is much larger than the class of books publishers will publish. I've come to accept this as a basic kind of truth. And my vision of it is that there are way more stories that readers will buy than publishers will publish. Not more in quantity, but just different stories that readers will buy that publishers won't. And every indie author I've talked to has said, yeah, I think that's true. Can I go there? Okay. Just there's a couple coming the other way that I had met when I first started out. They passed me on the other, going in opposite directions. We're still going in opposite directions, but it's like a side street here. It'll probably still wind up being 2 miles. But that got me interested in the kinds of stories that an indie author will write. I first ran into this problem when I was dealing with the Recommend Fiction Writers novel writing contest. And I stopped judging it because I really didn't like the way that they were treating self-published authors. Their novel writing contest is geared for, aimed at, tailored to TradPub. The prizes are all we'll get your book in front of an agent. And so the winners, not surprisingly, are books, since one of the final judges is an agent. And it's not surprising that the final prizes are quite frequently what I would call I don't think of the right term. There's a bunch of terms that don't mean what you think they mean. Quelle surprise. C'est fromage. Oh, I guess it should be quel fromage. Commercial fiction is lit fic. In the traditional publishing world, commercial fiction is not genre fiction. There's commercial fiction and there's genre fiction. And commercial fiction is everything that's not genre fiction, which is basically lit fic. Literary fiction. I'm sorry. Lit fic is It sounds like I'm dismissing it, and I'm not. It's literary fiction. And I got into a fight with the people who are in charge of the Colorado Gold Writing Conference. When I suggested that perhaps they needed some better judges, judges who could recognize that there was more than one kind of story, that your basic three-act structure that the common wisdom around conflict and motivations might be too narrow. That a self-published author could quite viably do a four-act structure. That long word starts with K that I can never correctly remember for more than 15 minutes at a time. It was actually a valid structure. It was around all the time. Get ready, say it with me. One post. I've been around for a lot longer than the Western three-act structure. And they were like, well, that's just dumb. I'm like, I think we're done here. I think we're done here. So I've been thinking about this for a while. It's like, there is no way that my books could be anywhere near as successful if they were published by Random House. It's not the marketing, it's the story. People who buy tour books are looking for a tour book. They're looking for the kinds of stories that Tor publishes. They're not looking for the kinds of stories that I publish. Well, they are. It's not either or. It's not. They're not mutually exclusive in the reader's minds. And that comes up because I'm looking at this. I just finished Line in the Sand. And I think this is one of those stories where if I accept it for the story that it is, if I accept it for the piece of art, if I accept it for these are the techniques that Judith is using. This is the story that Judith is telling. Am I moved by this story? The answer is yes. Did it make me feel something when I got to the end? The answer is yes. Would a traditional publisher have accepted this story? I don't know. I doubt it. But I think it has more in common with something that I might write, or even Mackie Chandler might write, than it would somebody like David Weber, who who has similar themes, who has similar ideas. Or, for that matter, even Glenn Stewart. No, that's not true. She's much more in common with Glenn Stewart than she would be with David Weber or Eric Flint or John Ringo. Is it military science fiction? Yeah, a little bit. Is it space opera? Yeah, definitely. Was it a good read? Yeah, I did it. That's a pretty long book, 370-something pages. And it's currently free, by the way, if you want to grab a copy. Or it was last night when I looked at it. I don't know if it's still free. Excuse me. It's an interesting story. It's made me do a lot of thinking. All of my reading over the last couple, 3 weeks has had me reading just reading like a drowning man needs air. It's astonishing. I used to get up in the morning and take my coffee and my toast and go down and sit in front of the keyboard. Now, since the beginning of July even, I get up in the morning, I take my toast and coffee and sit in the living room in my pajamas and read. Ideally, I will only sit in my pajamas and read until like 6 o'clock. And then ideally, I will go for my walk. You can see how well that ideal is working. Cute little corgi. Fuzzbutt. So, last week, the week before was tree week. Last week was fence week. We had some significant difficulty with the internet both weeks. I think it's all back together now. The new fence is beautiful. The guys did such a good job. It went slow. The teardown went fast, which aggravated the neighbor who couldn't put her dog out in the backyard for a few days. When I see her again, I'll offer to buy her a bottle of whatever it is she drinks. If she drinks anything, if not, I'll get her a... I'll find out if she drinks tea or coffee. Get her some good tea, get her some good coffee. Morning. But you see the fence in all its glory. It's like perfectly lined up. There are no missing, what do they call them? They call them pickets. I call them tailings. Although it may be that paling refers to upright logs and not just the uprights on fences. But they're beautiful, they're solid, they're all set in concrete. All the posts, all have concrete underneath them. Cement of some sort. They corrected the divot that was out of one of the lines. The new line is gorgeous. We have one piece of the wall, a short piece of the fence that the pickets are on the inside rather than the outside. Because they couldn't put it on the outside. They didn't have room to work. The neighbor's wood pile is too close to it. Rather than give up a foot of my yard, I had them put the pickets on the inside. So it's this great looking wall with some plantings in front of it. It looks really cool. I'm really pleased. The back gate got an update. The front gate is now a beautiful 5-foot gate. The lawn mowing people can just wheel their big mower back. The side gate here is much smaller. It's only a 3-foot gate. But the big gate, extra heavy hinges, extra heavy post. It's gorgeous. And speaking of the fence, I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. With any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.